can only be time for the Midweek Drive with Alex Lefchuk, Natalie Tuck, Tiffany Freeman, Katie Grimerson, and more.
Although Tiffany's actually sorting stuff out before she goes off to New Zealand. That's strange and bizarre in all sorts of ways. Good afternoon, Tom Nichols. How are you, Tom?
I'm fine, thanks.
Excellent. Your first ever Midweek Drive, all set and ready to share in the wonderment that the show has become?
I am, yes. Excited and slightly apprehensive.
Oh, very good. good sort of sense from that. How are you, Philippa? All right?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Excellent. Ticking over perfectly, splendidly in all sorts of ways. Hello, Hannah. Are you well?
I'm good, thanks.
Marvellous. And Katie Grimace, of course, name checked in the jingle, quite rightly so.
Yeah, I'm all right.
That's all right. Oh, yes. It's a good scenario. And Natalie, are you well?
Hi, Alex. Yes. It's very hot in the studio today.
Yeah, sizzling. That's the key thing. Sizzling scenario. I did suggest that I should wear my bikini, but people said no. No, they said several times. Anyway, specialist jingle coming up now.
Annette Andre, ace actress and top correspondent, now live on the Midweek Drive with another audio letter from upstate New York.
So that would be you, Annette, then.
That would be. Is that me now?
Well, that was the cue. I mean, we played this when Arthur was on a couple of weeks ago, because, as we said, you've now reached the stage where, being a regular correspondent, you deserve and merit to your own little jingle or ident. So, do you want to hear it one more time? Nine seconds of wonderment.
Annette Andre, ace actress and top correspondent, now live on the Midweek Drive with another audio letter from upstate New York.
And still looking for a title for her autobiography.
You were going to see it.
If you want a musical version, we're going to have to renegotiate fees and all sorts of things here and there. Never mind. Anyway, I do know that Tom was fascinated when he saw that you were actually on the show, because he uttered those immortal words, Annette Andre, still going. I said, of course she's still going. She's one of our top correspondents. Exactly. it was only the last time we had Professor Norman Sherry who said, oh, interesting Australian accent, to which Annette merely went ballistic, said, I lost the Australian accent. Still. Before we go into digit, let's talk Downton Abbey, because that's what the theme of the Annette Andre letter is going to be about to kick off the show today.
That's right. Mm. And the second season of Downton Abbey has recently aired here to great popular and critical acclaim. Although chalk and cheese to the EastEnders on the surface, Downton and the Cockney perennial share a common ground. First transmitted so long ago that its broadcast signals must now be on final approach to the planet Mercury, EastEnders celebrates the residence and culture of an historic London district, whereas Downton examines the lives of the inhabitants of an ancient pile in the rural countryside during the Edwardian era. Both are melodramas of the sudsy variety, albeit EastEnders strives for a gritty reality, while Downton is presented in a Cecil Beaton-esque romanticism. Although the plot unfolds with multiplying complications involving both upstairs and downstairs, there are no ropes, rides, or rescues to disturb the orderly, long-prescribed manner in which Lord Grantham deals with the vicissitudes of life. That Downton is beautifully produced and richly cast doesn't answer why this particular period Brit series has so captured America's attention and with such fervor. Elizabeth McGovern's portrayal as the American wife of Lord Grantham, good as she is, can't explain it either. No, I believe that its success over here goes much deeper than a well-done Edwardian catwalk of plummy vowels and a peek into what the scullery maid saw. Downton Abbey has struck a therapeutic chord at a time when my adopted country is in deep flux, economically battered, politically divided, and morally despondent. The future to a vast number of Americans seems callously bleak. Downton is underpinned not by those tired Windsors whose questionable relevance has been recently revived by a red carpet marriage, but rather by the foot soldiers of tradition, the aristos. Unlike the American titans of industry, the Morgans, the Vanderbilts, and Astors, the Edwardian era's British aristocracy never seemed to do anything but have the exact wardrobe for a wide range of pursuits, from grouse shoots to dining at their London clubs. For Americans struggling to put food on the table and petrol in the car, Downton is a rabbit hole to slip down and spend an hour or two in a world where only a massive lottery win could begin to approximate. The Edwardian era was the last hurrah of the grand style here in the US, as in Britain, a thumbprint on the eyeglass of history now retrieved only in nostalgia. The silver rustle of exquisite gowns, the elegant narrowness of the nobility that for a time defined the empire and steadfastly refused ownership of the harm its passage caused, is all part of Downton's mystique. The aristocratic code had a comforting rigidity in retrospect of today's catch-as-catch-can manners and morals. So when Lady Mary has one night tumble with a visiting Turkish diplomat, who then pops his clogs in her bed, her shame is kept secret by the family and a downstairs witness, all aware of the social disaster that would befall not just Lady Mary, but the family as well, should her indiscretion become public. Contrast that to today's tell-all culture. Rupert Murdoch's empire is under siege due to his newspaper's pervasive phone hacking. Apparently no one's most intimate details or sorrows were placed off limits. Or consider the reality TV shows where nothing is too controversial, degrading, or disgusting not to be shown in prime time. One example serves all. Last week, on a show tracking the doings of three high-end estate agents, cameras followed a pear-shaped, Armani-clad fellow into his dermatologist's office, where he was given underarm injections of Botox to reduce excessive sweating. Mm. Then there's the most recent invasion of the Kennedy Camelot fairy tale. Some 50-odd years after the kiss comes the tell of a woman who has just published a book alleging an 18-month affair with Jack Kennedy that saw her virginity off in Mrs. Kennedy's bed. Couple that grail of literature with Scotty Bowers' gutter-level saga of 1940s Hollywood. Bowers, who calls himself an introducer, has published his autobiography detailing his exploits as a pimp for the movie colony's residents and visiting royalty. Among a gaggle of famous stars, he claims to have arranged multiple assignations for the Duke and Duchess of Windsor with partners of the same sex, including himself. Is it then any wonder that America has taken Downton to its heart and, for now at least, has embraced a way of life that, illusionary it may be, dulls the pain of the present and gives hope to a time when all will be right in the world once again? And as for this Downton addict, I'm already experiencing withdrawal symptoms, but I cling to the news that Shirley MacLaine has been cast as Lady Grantham's mother for the coming season. Ooh, is that the hint of a wicked smile I see on Julian Fellowes' face as he plots deliciously barbed confrontations between the Dowager Countess and the new American upstart? Oh, would that I could be a part of it too. Hint, hint. That's it.
We'll get that sorted. I was just saying the campaign stats now to actually get a title for your autobiography, Annette, and indeed a role on Downton Abbey. Let's go to Natalie, because you broke the news about Shirley MacLaine a couple of weeks ago, being a key Downton fan, etc. A rabbit hole to slip down for the Americans. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, I suppose it's the same in Britain as well.
Rabbit hole to slip down.
Yeah, in these tough economic times, it was just Sunday night cosy drama, wasn't it? And have you had the Christmas episode yet, Annette?
We're on series two.
So have you finished series two yet?
I think we had Christmas.
Mm. Oh, because there was a Christmas special, which kind of was the icing on the cake.
Was
so
it
really was.
No,
yeah.
I don't think we've had that yet, so don't tell me.
Yeah, wow. So that was very nice.
Mm.
So it is something to kind of just, it's very, there's drama, but it's quite satisfying to watch as well. It doesn't leave you kind
lovely.
Of...
Oh, it's lovely. I'm absolutely, so is Arthur, absolutely addicted to it when it's here. We watch it and can't, we've got to wait almost a year for another one, I think.
Well, you know, the best things in life you have. It's just, it could be worse. You could be waiting for Stephen Moffat's Sherlock Holmes. 2013 is the next time it comes up, possibly 2014. Katie, Downton Abbey?
No.
I didn't think so. I didn't think so. So, Katie?
I'm more into my fashion program.
Yeah, exactly. Keeping it real. Hannah, Downton Abbey?
I'm not really a fan, but I can see why people would like it. Hmm. I think it's that kind of era is really interesting in general, isn't it? Just like the whole social etiquette.
Okay. We're getting you close to the microphone next time around for that point of view. Philippa?
I've not seen it, but it sounds similar to Downstairs. No,
Upstairs, Downstairs. Yeah, Downstairs, Upstairs was a sequel I was trying to get off the ground, but without any success whatsoever.
Was that ever shown in America?
Upstairs, Downstairs, I think, was very popular, almost as popular, I believe, as Keeping Up Appearances and The Benny Hill Show, but perhaps not. You know?
Oh, Upstairs, Downstairs was wildly.
I know. And
popular.
Still with us, of course, Jean Marsh. Exactly. Jean Marsh is back with us. She had a slight health scare, but she's back in the series. So, Tom, I mean, where do you sit on the Downton Abbey scenario? Do you think, yes, great, this is what we want to be representative of Britain in the world today?
Well, I'm an avid viewer, and my wife is an ex-actor, is always kind of sitting there scanning the cast. Oh. And I think it is. It's a kind of triumph of performance, you know. So I think particularly Maggie Smith, but others as well. I was shocked to realise an American friend sent me an article that, in fact, the production company are owned by NBC. So in a way, this is sort of an American-owned drama being sold back to America. Yeah, yeah. I don't think it makes any difference when we watch it at all.
Well, it's shown over here on PBS, which is a national public service thing, you know. Which a lot of BBC things have shown on.
Indeed, and in fact, apparently NBC passed on it. Even though they had first option, they thought, well, who wants to see that?
Who wants a series about a kind of, you know, English? I mean, you know, we can't be dealing with that kind of thing.
It does remind you of the gag in Sunset Boulevard, you know, who wants to see a Civil War movie? Mm. But not quite on the same scale. Oh. Yeah, massive over here, Annette. I mean, it actually reached 12 million for that Christmas episode.
Almost
so
as many people used to watch Randall and Hopkirk Deceased,
here,
I've heard.
It is massive here. I mean, everybody I speak to, I say, oh, do you happen to know Downton Abbey? Oh, I love it. I wait. You know,
Annette, has it actually replaced the question that often used to be trotted out to Brits on tour in the States when they would say, are you from London? Do you know the Queen? Is it now a case of, do you watch Downton Abbey? Is that
maybe it is. I don't know. I'm usually the first one who says, do you watch Downton Abbey?
clearly, we'll find out as the show proceeds. We're going to St. Louis to speak to Jean Bruce Scott and Randy Reinholtz, who are currently on tour with Native American Voices. We've got Phil Leonis. Hopefully, he's got an alternate telephone number in case we get a challenge with his first one. So hopefully, Phil will be with us. Cameron Tilbury, of course, live from Nashville. And coming up very shortly, Andy Comfort, BBC Humberside's breakfast presenter. But Tom, any questions you want to put to Annette at this stage about life, the universe, working with Roger Moore, Sir Roger Moore, suggestions for her autobiography?
Well,
anything, really.
I don't think I have suggestions for the autobiography. I do have a question about The Prisoner, which I don't know.
Yes. Don't ask Patrick McGowan. She doesn't like Patrick. Okay. Sorry, no, I did.
Which you've probably been asked many times. I mean, I was a big fan of Randall and Hopkirk Deceased and everything else you're in. But I just wondered if there was a time, you know, people used to watch The Prisoner here partly for the confusion. I just wondered if there was a moment when Patrick McGowan actually took everybody on one side and said, this is what it's about, or whether it was as confusing to be on set.
Oh, absolutely not. I'm not sure whether it wasn't just as confusing to him, and he wrote it. I actually, when I went into it, I said to, I think it was Darren Nesbitt, and I said, or Mark Eden, and I said, could you explain to me what this is about? And they said, no. I had no idea from beginning to end what I was
Annette,
saying.
Annette, if it's any comfort, I get asked the same question every week about the midweek drive by Natalie. You know, what was it about? Just let it go. You know, just experience it. You know, it's own routine, basically. But that couldn't have
I've
been
got a little before we sign off. Yeah. Just in case you're about to, I just had another little thing I wanted to mention. It's only second.
Go for it.
Okay, well, it's a further advertisement for me.
That's perfectly okay. that's what we're about.
I'm telling you that my blog page is now up and running. I really can't believe I'm saying this, truly. Blog. No. I mean, blogging.
It's a web blog.
I had no idea. I had to have a lesson in what it was. And
it comes to all of us.
So, you know, So anyway, it's, you can access it by going.
I'm still delighted. I'm looking
website.
At your. I'm looking at your Facebook page at present, Annette, and we're still getting the Roger Moore thing. And then still, by the way, many thanks to those who continue to listen to my regular audio features on Siren FM's Midweek Drive. It's very good. Yeah. Spreading the word.
And I'm putting you on my links page too. Oh. I mean, so you're going up. Oh yeah.
And, I mean, what could there be a greater gift from heaven above than to actually be on Annette Andre's links page? It's fantastic.
On my links page.
It's genius. It's genius.
Oh, dear.
And not referring, of course, to people who might be confused to a kind of North American cat-like mammal that is obviously a lynx, or indeed the kind of deodorant spray that's also around, which is another line entirely.
Oh, yes,
there's all sorts of confusion there. Natalie, would you like to throw those last two questions towards Annette Andre over the transatlantic sphere into upstate New York?
Annette, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic conversation with us tonight?
Oh, I always do. I always do. I love it. I wish you know, you could actually see it. It'd be nice if you could sort of...
Well, we'll get those two-way sort of video links together, I'm sure.
I live on top of a mountain. I'm on the wretched dial-up. Can you imagine? There's no way you can get the pipe on dial-up. I know.
You see,
it's
Tom,
it's like
when you're
having a hand-cranked, you know... it's like hand-cranking the computer to get it up. It's unbelievable.
Annette, you might be on dial-up, but compared with last week's attempted link with Phil Leonis in Los Angeles, this is just sheer perfection. This is audio bliss. This is what Alexander Graham Bell had in mind when he set up these links in the first place.
Did you have a problem?
Anyway.
I wonder.
Can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future, Annette?
Oh, yes. Oh, my next... I already know what I'm going to talk about in the next one, next month. Mm. And it's a goodie. And you're a woman, so I want you to listen, even if you're not there. And I want your comments at the end of it. Mm. It's about ladies, about women. So,
yeah, well, once again...
It's going to be... It's one of my favourite topics. And what men have done to them over the ages.
Well, I'll just prepare to sort of, you know, get out the birches and the sackcloth and ashes at this particular moment in time. And Andre, we salute you. Have some Noel Harrison.
Like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning on a never spinning reel. Like a snowball down a mountain or a carnival balloon. Like a carousel that's turning, running rings around the moon. Like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face. And the world is like an apple whirling silently in space. Like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind. Like a tunnel that you follow, circles that you find in the windmills of your mind.
Of course, there is an argument that says he was actually at his best when he was the co-star of Stephanie Powers and The Girl from U.N.C.L.E., as opposed to singing songs as themed in the Thomas Crown affair. But nonetheless, a debate which I'm sure will continue ever onwards, possibly even in the annals of BBC Humberside. Who's on the show now, Katie?
Andy Comfort.
Not the legendary Andy Comfort, BBC breakfast host extraordinaire, or as I'd like to say in the running order, BBC's Humberside's premier breakfast show host. Yes, that very same Andy Comfort is the response to that. Isn't that right, Andy Comfort?
Yes, hello, good evening.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's shifting into all sorts of areas because you'll be on campus, of course, tomorrow, Andy, where you might have the chance of actually meeting in person the legend that is Natalie Tuck, because could you believe it, Andy, when last you were actually on campus, Natalie wanted to meet you, but she was just a little bit shocked, and she saw yourself sitting with me and some other lecturers, and she sent a text actually to me saying, didn't want to disturb you because you were with other lecturers. Isn't that right, Natalie?
Yeah,
you see, politeness.
Thanks,
Tom,
for mentioning that.
It just shows, you know, that politeness that's actually in place there. You know, on the other hand, Hannah O'Brien would probably march right across and actually demanded that you sign all sorts of things from that sort of contracts, usually.
Probably, yeah.
There you go. That's because you're from Gloucester, Hannah. You know,
yeah,
that's why we like
forward.
You. Exactly. Anyway, in the studio, just a reminder for you, yourself and the listener, we have Tom Nichols, senior lecturer in media theory. Started off, of course, at Derby, I believe, Tom.
No.
No, you didn't start at Derby.
No.
Oh, yeah, you're quite right. I'm confusing with Colin Reiners. Often easily done. Yes.
Never seen this as two sides of the same coin, really.
Indeed. No. So one photography, one film, and so on. But your own particular route to becoming a senior lecturer in media theory?
Well, quite a long one. Well, actually, I started off at Birmingham.
Right.
Birmingham Poly.
Yep.
Doing photography, professional photography course.
You say Colin Reiners, photographer, wasn't that?
Yeah, yeah, I did start off in photography very much. Then I was self-employed for a short while, went in to be a technician for 5 years in education, was self-employed again in video, went into teaching, and then came to Lincoln.
Exactly, exactly. It's just a whole range of things. And indeed, we'll be finding out a whole range of other things as things manifest. We have finally a film and television studies student, Philippa Blackmore, who's also in the studio. Andy, Philippa, of course, it's your second show. Settling down to the whole thing. Of course, your father actually works in the film industry.
He was listening.
He was. Is he listening again today?
No, he's on his way home now.
He's on his way. He can always listen again via podcasts, Podbeans, etc. So if you want to give a little shout out, you know, you can personalise him. You don't have to say hello, Dad. You know, you can say whatever.
Hi.
No, there you
his whole office was actually listening. So.
Was he?
Yeah.
You see, Andy, that's what
he's
we like
now
to
famous.
Somewhere, and this was in Pinewood.
Shepperton.
Yeah. That's, I mean, not that it's competitive with BBC Humberside, but I like to feel, you know, that there are only certain sort of shows that carve out that sort of key office Shepperton studio, Andy. But, you know, maybe we can go head-to-head on that one.
Thank you.
Exactly. Congratulations on Ipswich getting a point last night, by the way.
Yes, thank you, against Middlesbrough. That was a good point. Pleased with that.
Yes, exactly. Natalie Tuck is with us, as mentioned, and we also have Hannah O'Brien and Katie Grimason. So, Andy, whom do you wish to go to? Whom do you wish to chat with? Do you want to speak to Natalie, Tiffany, Katie, Philippa, or Tom?
Oh, I feel like you almost should do it in alphabetical order so as not to upset anybody, really.
when is the BBC worried about upsetting people?
Well,
you know,
true.
Please, you know, compliance,
you can't
whatever.
All the people all the time. No, that's exactly. Right. All right. Well, whoever wants to ask anything, you know me, always happy to answer. I must say, by the way, I always like your introduction. It does make me laugh when you describe me as BBC Radio Homicide's premier breakfast host. And I always think, well, no, I'm the only breakfast host. It's a bit like there's a bus in Hull that goes around, which is in a tiger livery for Hull City, and they decked it out in these colours when Hull City got promoted to the Premier League a few years ago. And on the bus it says, Hull City, it says Hull's premier football team, and they didn't want to put Premier League football team in case they got relegated, which of course they then did. And it always just amuses me that this bus says Hull's Premier football team. I think, well, actually, they're Hull's only football team, but you know, they are still Hull's Premier team. So I'm happy to be the Premier breakfast presenter on the basis that I'm the only one.
And listen, Andy, your producer, Christine Dexter, was one of the co-founders with myself of Siren FM and Teresa Hunt and a variety of other folks. So, you know, we were in it at the really at the sharp end, Tom.
Yes, right.
I had hair then, but anyway. So did Andy, I would have thought, from that perspective.
Yeah.
I do know that one of the things we want to talk about is clearly this whole notion of the drought that you're faced with in Humberside and obviously in Yorkshire, etc. But to set the scene for that, I think it's time to actually launch with the quintessential jingle for Natalie.
Natalie Tuck. She's a dancer, a Meryl Streep aficionado, entertainment correspondent, and from Yorkshire. What's not to love?
I feel she should be co-presenter with yourself on the breakfast show. But anyway, exactly. Natalie, would you like to quiz Andy about the drought in Yorkshire? Because being a Selby lass, you know, you might be suffering. You might have to get some water when you next go home, etc. So, over to you.
Yeah, I caught this on Look North this morning, but not much of it. Would you be able to tell me how widespread it is, and are hose pipe bans going to be implied? Applied.
Implied as well, of course. You know,
well, implied,
subtleties of journalism.
it's spread the drought. I mean, we broke the news a couple of weeks ago that there were going to be hosepipe bans in force for Anglian Water customers across Lincolnshire, across north, northeast Lincolnshire. And there was a feeling then that the drought could spread to East Yorkshire. Ironic, isn't it, that, you know, between that there's a great big piece of water in the way and we're talking about a drought spreading, but there was a fear that East Yorkshire could suffer from the drought. Now, the thing that is different is that Yorkshire Water is unique among water companies in the country, as they keep telling us, in that they have this underground pipe network, so they can transfer water. So if they've got spare water in the big reservoirs, say in West Yorkshire, in the Pennine Reservoirs, they can just pump it through to East Yorkshire to help Hull and the East Riding, and they've been doing that. But the problem is there's a limited amount of water. We're looking at, I think it's the driest period in some areas since 1910. So we're starting to look at some pretty serious dry weather here. There's no rain on the horizon. And I spoke to Yorkshire Water and the Environment Agency this morning as they were announcing a drought in East Yorkshire. And I quizzed the man from Yorkshire Water about, well, come on, you know, are we looking at a hose pipe ban across the Yorkshire region, across East Yorkshire? And it was one of those, well, he didn't say yes, he didn't say no, and they can't rule it out. And I would think, and I'm just guessing, but I would think that there'll be a hose pipe ban in East Yorkshire within the next few weeks. They've got boreholes running dry. There's a limit to how much water they can pump across. So I think, yes, I think we'll have restrictions as they have south of the Humber fairly shortly.
So, obviously, you're quite OK, Andy, with the notion that when you come down to Lincoln tomorrow, we will actually be arranging your fee in terms of bottles of water to actually take back.
Well, if you would, please. I was wondering if I should bring some water and drop it off in north and northeast Lincolnshire on my way across.
I'm sure it would be well, because that's what the Humber Estuary might be considered about in various ways. Tom, any questions you've got for Andy? As looking on the website, one of the country's longest-serving breakfast presenters.
Oh, right. Well, I suppose my question would be, and I know it's an obvious one for a breakfast show host, but I always have a real problem getting up in the morning.
You don't listen to the Andy Kemp for Breakfast Show, clearly.
I don't, I'm afraid.
He wakes you up.
I hear they're a little first thing in the morning. But I just wonder, what's the technique? I mean, is it just two alarm clocks, or how do you do that?
Yes, it is. And ironically, this morning, I usually set the alarm on my phone for some strange reason. And it was nothing to do with any drink, but for some strange reason, I didn't plug it in. And I woke up this morning, and I thought that was a close shave. That was lucky because it was down to about 10% battery power, but it did wake me up as normal. But I've got so used to it. There was a time when I started doing the show and I started doing earlies and reading the news early and so on, and I really did struggle with it. I really just couldn't stand getting up in the morning. It was a real strain. And I think it's just with everything, you get used to it. It becomes your routine. And I do. I'm not great at going to bed early, having said that. I still like to sit and watch a bit of TV or read or whatever. And I don't actually go to bed as early as I should. I know breakfast presenters are tucked up, you know, with a cup of cocoa much earlier than I am. I'm not great at that, but I might try and stagger my sleep, get a bit in the afternoon, maybe an hour here and there.
Chris Moyles being an obvious exception, as you know, Andy, having worked with him, so he tends to sort of still burn the candle at both ends from that point of view.
He does, mind you, he does come in, to be fair, he comes in a bit later, he doesn't have the same...
He has staff to work with that side of things, and you know, understandably so. Tom, when you did your research into Mid-American Radio, Prairie Radio, just share with us that particular aspect, because I know we want to focus on this a little bit more fully as the show proceeds, but your particular area of expertise is?
Very good question. Well, I tend to teach broadcast these days rather more than film.
Yep.
And I went out to talk to... Basically, I got very interested in trying to understand what NPR and PBS, the two public systems in the States, were actually about rather than what we thought they were about. So I had all kinds of preconceptions. And we have a research... we have an exchange with Moorhead Minnesota State University, and I had the opportunity to visit the station. So having done one trip to just sort of understand the context, I then went to speak to listeners about radio and how it serves their community and what they get out of it. It's a very different kind of context because in a day's radio there... They, apart from the news, they only really have an hour of talk radio, which is local content. Most of the rest of it is music with a local voice, but really just as a kind of linkage. So, you know, that was the show I concentrated on, and that was my particular interest in and I think is, really, in local radio, and is what's the relationship between a station and its listeners, and how's that maintained, and how does that affect programming content?
So the exciting thing, Katie, is next year when you go into year two of your American Studies programme, you'll be able to actually listen to a lecture given by Tom as part of the Broadcasting in America programme, focusing on precisely that.
Yeah, it's exciting.
She's raring to go. Yeah,
exactly. Andy, I mean, we often hear about, obviously, the American model and it sort of taking part in the British model and so on. And you said yourself that one of the things that you'd sort of been impacted about vis-a-vis the Chris Moyles show is after he did his stint from BBC Humberside, you actually became a little bit more more relaxed in your approach to the whole system, etc. Not in a kind of unprofessional manner, but it just became a little bit more relaxed, more dare I say, Siren-esque, perhaps. Is this something that's constantly changing and evolving, your approach to broadcasting?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I mean, every day, every week. I mean, you're constantly learning. You've never learnt it all, and I think if you're not prepared to evolve, then you don't survive. And I think the secret of surviving as in radio is ability to evolve and to go with the flow and to know what your listeners want. You know, I mean, styles change, listeners come and go, and you've got to change with that. And I think I think I've relaxed as a presenter over the years. I remember when I first started presenting, thinking, well, you know, I used to read the news and I used to go out and report, and to thinking that actually I could say things off the cuff, I could actually make comments within reason, you know, and it was quite a step change, really, you know, completely different.
It's just as well we have everything written down here to keep that spontaneousness going, really.
I mean, you know, I can't remember the last time I stuck to a script, but now, I mean, you do your clue the news stories, you do. But, yeah, you're right, when Chris Moyles came in, it was fascinating to see, you know, you kind of brought up with this red light etiquette, studio etiquette, you know, of if people are coming in to bring you something, they'll sneak in. And with Moyles and his team, they were coming in, and our doors can bang if you don't shut it quietly. And they were coming in, clashing about, and nobody was bothered. It was in and out, you know, conversations going in the background. And whilst we haven't gone quite that far, I just thought it's a bit relaxed. And I said, well, just come in, don't worry, just come in. Come in on the red lights, come in, just have a lunch. Not singing or swearing, I'm not too bothered, just come in and out. So, yeah, we have relaxed,
It's the new relaxed approach to the whole scenario. I can vouch for that in terms of when I do the newspaper reviews, normally it's a case of sit there, don't say anything until I actually point to you. I think it's because I used to be a teacher. Never mind, it's a different line. Hannah, any questions for yourself? And swing that microphone round to you, otherwise heaven only knows what'll be happening. I mean, we can't be, I mean, it's what do you think it is? The Chris Moyles Show. Get on microphone,
trying
please.
Trying to avoid the microphone, really. I was just thinking about you being a breakfast show presenter again, but
not in a scary way, Andy, I have to point out. You know, I mean, it's still all right. I mean, I'm sure a lot of young women often think about you as a breakfast show presenter, Andy, but, you know, whatever.
Just wondering if you have any tips for anyone who's thinking of going into the kind of business of presenting.
Come along to his show tomorrow. Come along to the Careers Day.
It's about getting yourself known, getting your face known, perseverance. I mean, you know, don't expect that you're going to walk into a job. I mean, it's harder nowadays, and it was hard in my day as well. But yeah, I mean, I apply for all sorts of things, and it's about just being prepared to see what there is out there. And you know, when I went into radio, I didn't really think about presenting, to be honest. I wanted to be a journalist, a radio journalist, and I trained up to do that. And it's about sort of the opportunity will come around, but you've got to be there to get that and make your own luck a bit. But you've got to, you know, we get people coming in, say, on work experience, and it's about showing interest, because we might actually think, oh, yeah, well, they were really good. And if a job came up, they might get shortlisted for an interview, or they might get some further work experience.
But alternatively, you may never speak to them ever again.
We may never speak to them again. Some we don't. The ones who come in and sit there and not say anything, or
what's
just
the point?
Interested. We don't, you know, that's there. We're not.
Andy, you know, it's what we do as academics all the time. I'm sure Tom could admit to it. Look, what's the point? You know, there's no point, really, is there? They don't engage with the process. Sorry, I'm just going to go on a rant here. We've got a special treat for Katie coming up now. At least I think it's a special treat. It's the country music selection from Cameron Tilbury, though. What this has to do with country music, I really don't know. I mean, have you ever encountered, Andy, you know, possibly launch a breakfast show thing with Xander Demos and White Knuckle Driving?
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so, Katie, because we've got to go to Cameron Tilbury and squeeze him in from Nashville just ahead of the news on Siren, which was the last news of this term from the journalism students on the Midweek Drive. So, very important time. Katie, would you like to throw those last two questions to Andy Comfort, please?
Andy, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic conversation with us today?
As always, yes.
And can we look forward to hearing from you again?
Oh, certainly, yes, at any time, you know me.
Except, obviously, on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, because obviously he'd be doing his show at the same time as we're going 8 through 10. It's a bit of a call there. It's understandable. Here's Xander Demos.